With you this morning. Turn with us over into Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. We started preaching last week at the cross, and I wanted to do a small series on the cross. I thank God for the cross today. If you're willing and able, let's stand and in the reading of the Word of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. We'll read verse 33 through 35. When they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. They crucified him and parted his garments and cast in lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Look in verse 45 now for the text this morning. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 50, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing in reverence and reading the Word of God. Father, we love you. So we thank you for this time today. And I pray now you'd bless this time around your Word. I pray preaching to be easy this morning. And I pray that you'd deal the hearts. I pray, God, you'd challenge us and help us this morning. Thank you for your goodness and the grace of God. Touch all these that's on our prayer list that need a touch from you today. Help them, I pray now. Be with us this week, and we'll be gracious and thankful to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we preached last week about the death of the cross. Thank God for the cross. If it was not for the cross, none of us would be saved by the grace of God. And so we dealt with the way of the cross, the wounds of the cross, the writings on the cross, then the wonders of the cross. Christ died for the sins of the world. There was basically four main miracles that happened to Calvary. Not only where the Son of God there gave His life and died, but I want to deal with this darkness today. Something very unusual happened at the cross. The Bible said in verse 45, that they have crucified Him. From the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So at 12 o'clock at our time, God turned the lights out to 3 o'clock in the evening. Jesus got on the cross at 9 in the morning, and so he gave up the ghost around 3 in the evening, there that 6 hours. But during this transition of the cross, God brought darkness over the land. And I want to deal three things about this darkness today, of this at the cross. First of all, in verse 45, notice there is the cover of darkness. The cover of darkness. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. We see the truth of this darkness. One of the writers said yesterday in studying this text, he said, this is where heaven frowned upon what the earth had done. There the sins of all mankind was put on God's Son. And so the Lord, at the noonday hour, He brought darkness over the land. It was the truth. But then, look at the time. You know, God displays His power most often in that of the most difficult times. He waited for the sun to get the highest at 12 o'clock. And God had darkness to fall on the land. The truth of it, the time of it, it came at 12 noon. Somebody said, well, God couldn't do that. Let me tell you, honey, God can do anything this morning. I was reading in a place in the Bible. I wonder if you ever noticed this. You can keep your text and turn with us over in the book of Joshua. talking about the cover of darkness, the truth of it and the time of it. God displays His power in the most difficult of times. He's speaking to Joshua now in Joshua 10. Moses has died. So God has brought Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. The enemy came against Joshua, and I want you to see what God did. Talking about He displays His power in the most difficult time. The Bible said in Joshua 10 and verse 7, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. But we still need some warriors in this day and this hour. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Therefore shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth Horon, and smote them to Askah, to Makkedah. Verse 11, look what the Lord does. Came to pass, as they fled from Israel, and were on the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Hezekiah. And they died. And there were more which died with hailstones, and they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now watch this phrase. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites for the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed unto the people that avenged them upon their enemies. Isn't this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Can I tell you, God's still in business this morning. And certainly here at Calvary's Cross, we see the darkness fell upon all of the land. There's the cover of darkness. There's the truth of it. It really happened. There's the time of it at 12 noon. But then the term of it, for 3 hours, there God brought darkness over the land. I begin to think, God, why was it 3 hours that as Jesus got on the cross at 9 in the morning, died at 3 in the afternoon, why did darkness come on the land from noon till 3? Can I say, could it be that with the wickedness of man's sin, we've heard it all of our life, that God cannot look upon sin. Did He black heaven out so He could not see that? But there the Son of God was taking your sin and my sin. There was the time of darkness, the term of darkness. But I want you to think about this a minute. Here is Roman soldiers. They have stripped Him, they've mocked Him, they've beat Him, spit upon Him. They even plucked the beard from His face. There they was simply throwing railing accusations at Him, and all of a sudden it turned dark. And it takes me to my next point. Not only the time of it and the term of it, but what about the terror of it? Could you imagine how God was trying to get people's attention by what God was doing? I was reminded in 9/11 years ago when those planes hit the towers. Many of you remember that Sunday morning. It was standing room only. Our balcony was full. God trying to get people's attention. But you know what? They got some things better. They cleaned some things up. And now nobody's in the balcony this morning. It's that way in our lives. When God tries to get our attention, He sort of gets our attention a little bit. But when things get better, we forget about where we was. Can I tell you this morning, God is still in charge and God is still good. And He brought darkness there upon the cross from that noonday hour to 3 o'clock, the terror of it. Can you imagine the darkness when it fell, what the people began to think? Many began to fear, many began to tremble. Could you imagine being there that day? And there you're hollering, crucify Him, crucify Him. And all of a sudden the land went dark. No doubt the animals looked around and said, what in the world is going on? People was looking around and said, "Oh my, where did the sun go?" Let me tell you where the sun was. He was on the cross called Calvary. There he was dying for me and you. And I bless the Lord that he loved us that much, that he turned the lights of heaven off upon his son on our account that day. And I appreciate the Lord and his goodness. That is the cover of darkness. What a day. The terror of darkness. You know, Joel, the prophet Joel had something to say about this that I marked in the Bible about the darkness. He said, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord to come." The Lord is coming back for his church. It's going to be 7 years of tribulation transpire. Then the Lord is going to return with the armies of heaven. And there he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And during that great day of the Lord's return, the Bible said that the sun is going to be dark. All the people that's ridiculed the Christians, people that has thrown blasphemies in the face of God, he's going to turn it dark. And let me tell you something, the terror of darkness is bad. And I'm thankful that Jesus shined a light in my dark hour. I responded to him by faith, and the Son of Righteousness lit my life. And I bless him and I praise him, even for the darkness of Calvary. There's the cover of darkness. But then secondly, there's the condemnation of darkness. Many writers, as they said about this 3 hours of darkness on the cross, it illustrates there the darkness of mankind. And by the way, my Bible says this out of the text that I read. He said, from the sixth hour there is darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. That reminds me that everyone that's ever been born was born a sinner. You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. It'll come naturally. You must teach them to do right. And the reason, because if we went to Ancestry.com, Brother Mike, weren't anybody ever been there, I'm afraid what I'd find back there. But anyway, if you go all the way back, you'll see that our bloodline goes all the way back to the Garden of Adam. There we all receive the sin nature of man. And therefore this darkness as it came, it represents. Look in John 3 and 16. Brother Connor used this text Thursday night. I want to show you something here. Not on the cover of darkness, but the condemnation of darkness. Turn in John's Gospel 3, verse 16. Young children, one of the greatest passages in the Bible is right here. Underline it. If you don't have your Bible, let me know. We'll get you a Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Now I like this word, "For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now here's the text. Stay with me and watch. The condemnation of darkness. You'll find, first of all, the life of men. Verse 17. "God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You know, some of the hardest people to win to Christ is just good, ethical, moral people. Many that feel like they've never done nothing wrong. But can I tell you that unless you've been saved by the grace of God, you're under the condemnation of that law. We all were born sinners. That's why he said you must be born again. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person." Well, your pretty good living won't get you to heaven. You can give all your money away to the church and to charities. It's not going to help you to get you to heaven. You can do everything you know to do, but there's one way to heaven, and that's by God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on Calvary's cross, and God turned it dark upon the sin of the world. There the Son was sacrificing the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And here today, the condemnation of darkness. There's the life of men. But look in verse 19. There's the love of men, and this is the condemnation. Watch, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know, sin is fun, but it's just for a season. Back when I was with Pepsi, I used to deliver on 78 Highway, and I would go into some of those places where there's open all night. There would be a bar, and it smelled like a brewery, and you could look around, and chairs and tables turned over. You could walk in, and it was such a creepy feeling in a dark place. But you know, before God saved me, Brother Michael, I'd have fitted right in with that crowd. But boy, when God saved me and come to live inside of me, no longer was darkness fun to me in my life. Now I had the light of the Lord Jesus that was shining in my heart. And oh my goodness, the condemnation of man. It's upon all society. Not only the life of men, but the love of men. They love darkness. You wonder why our world is in chaos today? It's not so much about a politician. It's simply America's pretty much left the Bible. And men love darkness and they walk in dark things. The Bible speaks of the power of darkness. But we're not the children of the dark. We're the children of the light. Well, let our light shine and let our light show. Let our light share and tell people that Jesus saved. I don't have to die and go to hell in my sin because He paid a price for me at Calvary. And I'm thankful now that I don't like the dark. I remember when Parker was a little boy. He was just a little bitty child. Had that little curly hair everywhere. And I told him to go out on the back porch one night. It's dark. Brother Mark, he opened the door and he looked and he turned around at me and said, "Ain't a going out there, Pop. It's spooky out there." Can I tell you, darkness is still spooky in this day, in this hour. The children of light, they have no business being in dark places. Oh my. The life of men, the love of men, they love sin, love darkness. This is what Jesus said. If you got a Bible, it's written in red. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, church, might be saved." And this is the condemnation. You know what that word really means? It means condemned. If the city inspectors come to a home today, and they've seen it unqualified to live in, if it was not safe, they would put a sign on it and says condemned. That's what this means today. We're in trespasses and sins unless we've ever been saved. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. This Bible says you must be born again. And so there's the condemnation of darkness. The life of men, the love of men. But look in verse 20 at the lessons of men. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." I want to show you something right there, a treasury in that verse 20 about the lessons of man. "For everyone that does evil hates the light," watch this, "neither cometh to the light." In other words, they don't respond to the gospel. You know, this week we had some people come out on Monday night to the tent meeting. They just simply tried to preach the gospel. There's people there that hear the gospel. But you've got to respond to that gospel. You must turn your heart toward Christ, repent of your sins, and follow Him. It's not of works. It's all by grace this morning. And so there's the life of darkness, the love of darkness, and the lessons of darkness. They will not respond to the light that God is showing them. Aren't you glad ever how God got the light to you? Aren't you thankful that He shined that light in your heart? And you know, when God shined that light on me, this is something that happened, Brother Lee. I realized what such a sinner I was. But I responded to Him by faith. And God washed away all my sins. Can I ask you just as an old country preacher this morning, have you ever been saved? I'm not talking about if you're a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But has there ever been a time that you've seen yourself condemned, but you turned to Christ to set you free? And then thirdly and lastly this morning, about this dark hour, there's the cover of darkness, the condemnation of darkness. But I sure am glad I get to end this sermon on the conqueror of darkness. Jesus paid the price in the dark hour. Notice this, in Matthew 27 and 46, back to our text, Matthew 27 and 46, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And straightway, one of them took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Hey, now, y'all think about this a minute. How could people in verse 49 say that with what God had just did with the lights? If this be the Son of God, and God absolutely just turned the sun dark, how could they still doubt? That poses a question. How can you doubt? There's a God created you. We didn't come from a bunch of monkeys or gorillas. Darwin theory is out of hell this morning. God created us. God has allowed us to live. He sent His Son for us to die. And by the way, there's still a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He created hell for the devil and his angels. You say, "Preacher, I want to ask you a question. If you really believe in heaven and hell, if God really loves me, why would He put me in hell?" God don't put you in hell. You put your own self in hell. He created it for the devil and his angels. You reject His Son, you die and go to hell in your sins. Plain and simple. The darkness. We see the cover of the condemnation, but lastly, the conquering. Well, preacher, how did He conquer darkness? Look in Colossians 1 and 12. I'm about done, but I want you to see this text. I'll never forget the first time I seen this. I was over in Bowden. Colossians 1 and verse number 12, I want you to see this. I was reading this text, and I was in a deer stand. Don't none of y'all judge me. I like to hunt, you like to shop. Leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. But I saw this verse. This is what it says. Verse 12 of Colossians 1, "Giving thanks to the Father which has made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Here it is. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son." I'm so glad I was born again. You say, "Preacher, how's He a conqueror?" First of all, by the relationship. By the birth. Relationship by the birth. It says, "And He hath translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son." Something happened. I didn't get the do-betters. I got born from above, and God put me in His family. Relationship by the birth. Look at the next verse, very important, underline your Bible. The conquering of darkness. By the relationship, by the birth, but secondly, by the redemption, by the blood. Verse 14, we live in a very liberal society. They don't want you to preach about the blood, heaven or hell anymore. But you stopped in the wrong place this morning. Can I tell you, it's still the blood. No, you stopped in the right place. It's still the blood in whom we have redemption. Look. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Not only did He pay my price and accepted me by faith and put me in the family, He forgave me of all of my sin. You got any sins need to be forgiven? Oh, I sure did have a long list. But I'm glad that God is faithful. He would forgive us of all of our sin. Whom we have redemption through His blood. Young people, listen to me. when I'm dead and gone, don't never let no liberal preacher come in here and tell you it's still not the blood. Run him out of town. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Turn around and tell somebody it's still the blood this morning. Still the blood. What can take away my sin? Nothing. Nothing. But the blood. Relationship by the birth. Redemption by the blood. Look in John 12:35. Last place I go. The reassurance by the book. John 12:35. How can you know, preacher? Because my Bible tells me so. I'm glad I've got a Bible. And it's still right in this day, in this hour. You say, preacher, the conquering of darkness, how you know? By the reassurance, by this book, John 12:35. Listen real carefully right here. Here the Bible said, then Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Miss Jennifer, if you'd come, I want you to play something this morning. Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. And then it changes, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I see a lot in this text. A little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness suddenly find you. Preacher, what's that tell you? It lets me know that you've got to come into the light while the light is shining. When God's dealing with our heart, it's when we must come. God is so long-suffering. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen in ministry about this text. There was a lady here from Bremen. Her daughter and son-in-law was here. They're probably watching on Facebook this morning. But she had been unconscious, I think, 2 or 3 days in Tanner, and they'd called me, and I told her, now, I said, I'm going to go up there and visit this evening. There she's not spoke to nobody for several days. Couldn't get her to respond. I walked in. I spoke her name and said, how are you? And she opened her eyes. And she sat up in that bed, and her daughter done this. Said, preacher, she's not done this. Several days. I said, ma'am, would you want to be saved this morning? She said, preacher, with all my heart, I want to be saved. God saved that little woman. He allowed her to wake up. She got out of Tanner, come back to this church, and I baptized her in her 70s. Went but a few weeks, I buried her. What are you saying? I'm saying while you have light, you better come to that light, lest darkness suddenly find you. I feel like I owe a lot to my wife. I'd met Renee in Florida and we were just kids, but I knew something was different about Renee. She was different than any girl I'd ever dated. I moved here, was married. Renee lived that in front of me, and I knew I didn't have what I needed. But 1981, one August morning, God saved me. And that darkness got so dark. But when I called upon the Lord, the light come on. And I'm thankful that I responded to that light while it was shining in my heart. I'd like to do this morning. I'd like to ask you, if you're here and you've never been saved, young or old, Jesus loves you. And He died for you. In order to go to heaven, there must be preparation made. Have you made that by faith in Christ? Your own way? You know, watch this about the Bible. Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, was struck down on the Damascus Road. He said, suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. The woman with the issue of blood simply reached out by faith and touched the hem of his garment. You may not have the experience that I have with that earth-shaking, ground-moving experience, but I'll tell you what you must have. You must realize you was a sinner and responded to Christ as your Savior. And God can do that eternal work in your life. Would you stand with us this morning? Miss Jennifer's going to play. I wonder today, if you want to be saved, would you come receive Christ? Just as a little child, you may have a need in your life. Would you come? You say, preacher, how am I to be saved? You step out and put your faith in the finished work of Calvary. What Jesus has done for you. Would you come this morning? Would you come? You want to be saved? Would you come? I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you if you want to be prayed with. God turned the lights out. For 3 hours of darkness, my sin and your sin was upon His Son. But you don't have to stay in the dark. Come to the light. Would you come by faith this morning? Receive Christ as your Savior. Would it be anyone? Surely in a crowd this size, there's someone here who's never been saved. If you want to be, I can tell you you need to be. But do you want to be? Would you come? Anyone? Come by faith. Would you come? Finished work of Calvary. We've seen the death of the cross and the darkness. I'm glad there's life at the cross. Thank you, Miss Jennifer. I appreciate your attention this morning, but our ushers come today. I want you to know that Jesus loves you and died for you, cares about you. And all you little children, Jesus loves you. And I'm thankful you're here this morning. Fellas, you go ahead. Take up the offering this morning. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Jennifer. Thank you for your attention today. We've been able to preach out of this series, the death of the cross, the darkness of the cross. Lord willing, I want to deal next week before the temple of the veil rent. I sure am glad that Jesus made a way. We could get into the Father and pray one by one. No longer does anybody have to have a priest. We've got Jesus. And I'm thankful for the power of the cross. Any word before we dismiss this morning? I pray that you have a great week. Pray for me this week. I plan on traveling to the Carolinas and run a meeting. And I'll be back Thursday, so you pray for us, and I'd appreciate it. Any other word this morning? Brother Shane, dismiss us today. Amen. Thank you for being here today.